All right, let's pray. Father, this morning we give you the honor, the praise, the glory for all that you do, will do, and continue to do in our lives. And Father, we thank you for touching that person who had that need in the colon area, diverticulitis perhaps, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for healing and wholeness there. But Father, we open ourselves to your word. We've enjoyed the time of worship with you this morning. Now we open up to your word and we declare and decree that we will be good hearers and doers of your word. And everyone said, Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, everybody happy today? Can't be any other way. Can't be sad for being glad, as they say. Now, over the last number of years, as most of you will be aware, this ministry has helped establish, we haven't physically done it ourselves, but we've helped establish over 800 churches. And this week, I had contact from another group in Kenya, a lady called Mary, and she will get this message, will go out to her today, has a group meeting in a home in Kenya. And she said there are Catholic churches and Protestant churches around about them, but they're interested to learn about the Word. They want to know what the Word is and how to live in God's Word. So that's just another group. So it's 801 now. Praise the Lord. We don't really keep a record of them, but they're just all so precious to the Lord, and we want to do what we can to help them. Now, can I start by telling you a little story this morning? This is a story from Ireland, and seeing I'm from Ireland, and it's from the north of Ireland, and I happen to know the town that the story comes from, and I know many of the people who live in the town, and I know the area well. But in this particular town in Northern Ireland, it's mainly a Protestant town, and there's a sprinkling of Roman Catholic people in the town. The Protestants are the majority of the people in that particular town, and this month of July, on just a few days ago, on the 12th of July, those of you who are into history and so forth will know that the Northern Irish people hold parades and do all of that on July 12th. But in this particular town, there's a lady in the town, and she's a Christian lady, and her local minister asked her if she would hold in her home 3 weeks of consecutive cottage meetings or house meetings, because they had a special speaker coming, and he specialized in spending time in the home fellowship type meetings. And so she agreed to do that. But as it happened, next door to her was one of the Catholic folks who lived in the town. And so when it was coming near the day for the first meeting, she said to the Catholic neighbor, she said, we're holding this little house meeting in our home tomorrow night. Would you like to come? The Catholic lady looked at her and was a little embarrassed, and she says, no, I'm not allowed to. So the Christian lady said, okay, that's fine. Let me digress for a moment. When Elizabeth and I got married, Elizabeth had a hairdressing salon, and she employed a number of girls. Now, several of those girls were of the Roman Catholic persuasion. And when we got married, they had to get special permission from their priest to be able to come to our wedding, which is to be held in the Pentecostal church. Interesting just how these things happen, and particularly in Ireland, I guess. But let me continue with this little story. The house meeting went well, and the next morning, the Catholic lady said to her Christian neighbor, she said, how did your meeting go last night? The lady said, well, it was good. Our little house was full. We had a number of people turn up, and it was really, really great. The house was full. In fact, we had 32 people come. And the Catholic lady said, oh, that's good, that's great. And the following week, same situation, she said to the Catholic neighbor, we're having another meeting tonight, would you like to come? The Catholic lady again said, no, look, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to, I can't do that. And so on the following morning, then she said, well, how was your meeting? And the lady said, well, it was great. We had 48 people come, and it was wonderful. We had a great meeting. Same situation, same story. Following week, the Catholic lady said, no, I'm sorry, I'm unable to come. I'd like to, but I'm not allowed to. It's not permitted. I can't come along. So the following morning, she said to her neighbor, how did your meeting go last night? The lady said, we had 62 people turn up. The house was full. At this point, the Catholic lady looked at her and said, "Now, that's not possible. You couldn't get 62 people into your little house." And the lady said, "Well, it is possible because we took all the furniture out and put it in the garden, and everyone was able to get in. We had a meeting." Now, reading the story reminded me when we had our first meeting of Northern Faith Center. Naomi's smiling, and so is Ian. In Debbie Court, we used to live in Debbie Court, a little three-bedroom house. And when we had our first meeting, 55 people turned up. We had to take all of the furniture out and put it in the garden to let the people get in. The point of the story is this. Sometimes you have to declutter your mind in order to let the fullness of God in. So many times, you see, we got, like Naomi was saying, well, we have this agenda. We have to do this, we have to do that, we have to do the other. But sometimes you've got to set all those things aside and let the anointing of God come in. Let the presence of God, let the fullness of God come in. Turn in your Bible this morning to Isaiah 55, if you would, with me. We're going to go down through some scriptures today, and I trust that the message will help you. I've just called the message, God's Fullness. In Isaiah 55, let me just read two verses to begin with. Verse 8 and 9, and then I'll go back and comment on it. Verse 8, Isaiah 55, 8. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Verse 10 also says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and does not return there, but waters the earth, and makes it to bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Now, all of that bears commenting on, but let me just say that God will give seed to a sower, but he'll give bread to an eater. In other words, if you're hungry, he'll feed you. So you have to be a person who's willing to sow your seed. But let's back up to verse 7. He says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts." Who's he talking to? The wicked and the unrighteous. So my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, wicked and unrighteous person. So we have to set aside our thinking and our way of doing things in order to accommodate what God has. And God has fullness for us. Go to Psalm 91. We're building a little foundation for you here. Psalm 91. In Psalm 91, verse 1, 2, and 3. As the Super Kids say, got it? Psalm 91, verse 1. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence," is what the New King James says. So we need to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now let's look at one more psalm. Psalm 16, 1-6. In Psalm number 16, go down to verse 11. Now all of Psalm 16 is wonderful. You could spend just the morning just talking about that. But verse 11 says this, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." In your presence is fullness of joy. Now, how about you this morning? Do you think you could handle a little more joy? Well, some of us seem to think that a little more joy would be good. Now go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And go down to verse 16. John 1, 16. It says, "And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace," or grace upon grace. Of his fullness. Now we're talking about fullness this morning. Sometimes if you eat a good meal, you get full. I know we had an excellent meal last night. Elizabeth made a great meal, and it was so good I went back and had seconds. And I was full. Full. Really full. and so I rolled around a bit last night in bed because I'd really eaten too much. But praise the Lord, it's all good this morning. But it says, "Of his fullness," this is God's fullness, "have we all received in grace upon grace." Now this life that we live, this Christian life, it's not like some sort of an insurance policy, you know, that pays out at the end when you get to heaven, it's all over. You know, you pay your dues during your lifetime, and when it's all over, then you know you get the benefits of having an eternity with God and heaven, all of that. It's not like that. God has already given us grace right now. We've already got grace, and I told you, if you were here last week, we've already been given the gift of faith. And I did tell you that there's a difference between receiving the gift of faith and the gift of special faith, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we have this faith and we have this grace that God has given to us, and it's up to us to use this now, to make it work for us today. We need to spend much, much, much more time in this book. We need to spend more time in the Word of God and get this book working for us. See, a lot of Christians have the book working against them. They say, but you can't do this, you can't do that. There are certain rules and regulations. No, we have this. We are in Christ today. Look at Colossians chapter 2. You know the verses there. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Colossians, just after Philippians. Find chapter 2. Go down to verse 9 and 10. For in him dwells all the fullness of God. Now we read in Psalm 91 before, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. But then this one tells us, for in him, so in that secret place, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Verse 10 says, and you are what? Complete. You are complete in Christ, who is the head of all principality and power. Now that word complete, if you're into wanting to know a little bit more information than just reading the word complete in the Greek is plero, P-L-E-R-O-O. And what it means is made full and brought to the fullness of life. In other words, we have the fullness of spiritual life. When you received Jesus Christ, when you got born again, you were instantly changed on the inside. You still look the same on the outside, Patrick. No different on the outside, still the same Patrick on the outside. But inside, you're totally and completely changed in the spirit man. Your spirit now is exactly like Jesus. Some of you have difficulty with that, but you're exactly like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, what does that say? If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are what? Passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So we're totally changed on the inside, totally brand new. You are exactly like Jesus in the spirit man. Now, some of you struggle with that because you're still relating to what's happening on the outside. You still relate to what's happening in the physical realm, in the realm of your mind. But you've got to start and live from the fullness perspective. Start to live from the fullness of God that's already inside of you. Body, soul, spirit, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are filled full of all of you are complete in Christ. So complete is complete. You can't get any more complete than complete. I told you the word, plero, P-L-E-R-O-O. Now let's go across to 1 John. This is down toward the back of your Bible. 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. Find 1 John. Find chapter 4. In 1 John chapter 4, find a verse that you should have marked, verse 17. 1 John 4:17. It says, love has been perfected among us that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. What did I just tell you? That you've been changed completely on the inside? You're no longer a lost sinner. You're now saved. You're now a saint. You're now just like Jesus on the inside. But see, a lot of people have difficulty with that. A lot of people have some problems with taking that because they continue to live from the physical. They continue to live from the emotional realm. And many people are actually oblivious of the newness that's in them. They still think and act like the old person. There's got to be a change. You've got to change your way of thinking. You can't feel or see the Spirit. You can't feel or see God unless he reveals himself to you. No man has ever seen God. You may be aware of his presence. Remember he put Moses in the cleft of the rock and said, you'll be aware of my presence as I go past. Just the hinder parts is what the King James says. He was just aware of the presence of God. You know, there's a great earthquake and a great wind and all of those things, but God was in the still, small voice. See, so God is already in us. He's inside of us. You can't feel or see God, so we just accept God's word on it. We take the word because this is the truth. And when you know the truth, it sets you free. Now go back to John 6. That's the Gospel of John. You should mark all of these verses, you know, as we go through week by week. John chapter 6, Jesus made an interesting statement. If you find verse 63, John 6 and 63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." So we have to choose the word of God. We have to choose the life. And the life is in the word. The word is the seed. Then he goes on and says, verse 64, "But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him." So as far as God is concerned, your spiritual salvation is already complete. You can't add to it. You can't improve it. There's nothing that you can do to make it any better. God has already done everything that's necessary, and you are now walking in the spirit realm as far as God is concerned, just like Jesus. But he says we've got to bring our thinking up to that level. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. You know these verses. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and verse 2, you say, "Oh yes, Norman, I know that. I've heard that all before." Paul says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." He's saying it's only reasonable that you present your body as a sacrifice in light of what Jesus has done for you. Verse 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God." Don't be conformed, but be transformed. The Amplified Bible puts it just like this. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. We need to start and renew our thinking. We need to bring our thinking up to the level that God says we're at. We need to start and think with the mind of Christ, because 1 Corinthians 2:16 says you have the mind of Christ. We already have the mind, so we need to start and use it. Verse 3 of Romans 12 says, "For I say through the grace given to me that to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith." That's everyone among you, everyone in the church, the measure of faith. Proverbs 23:7. What does it say? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we've got to get our thinking up to God's level of thinking. Talking to the unrighteous, he says, "My ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts." So we now have the mind of Christ. We got to think like Jesus thinks. When sickness attacks your body, how do you react? You say, "Oh well, I've got the flu," or do you think like Jesus thinks? "No plague shall come near your dwelling. By the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, I was healed. He took my sickness and gave me his health." You've got to change your way of thinking. Look at Colossians. Go back. We were in Colossians. Go back over to Colossians again and find chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse 27. Just picking this out. It says, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is," this is the mystery, "which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." See, this is a mystery. But you need to renew your mind to be able to accommodate it. You need to be able to renew your mind to take the fullness of all that God is saying to you. See, there are a whole lot of reasons why people don't get blessed. Reasons why people are not able to walk in health. Reasons why people are not able to walk in the fullness of the financial blessing that God has for them. All of these things, there are limitations on us. But listen, there are no limitations on God. God has no limitations at all. He's willing, he's able to do everything he's already promised in his word, because there's not one word of God has ever failed. It has always come to pass. Every word that God has spoken is coming to pass. He said it, it will be so, because it is the truth, and it will happen. Now, I'm giving you quite a number of scriptures this morning, which are good for you. This is like having a Bible study, you know. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3, find verse 19. Ephesians 3 and 19. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with what? All the fullness of God. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20, which you already know. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power, or according to the fullness, if you like, that is already within us. Everything is available to you. How does it come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10 and 17. See, this fullness that I'm talking about, it's really the fruit of a Spirit-led life. It's the fruit of a Spirit-filled life, if you like. Galatians 5:22, you know these scriptures. I mean, they're just all so good. Talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. Let's read 2-3 verses. Let's start at verse 18. Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. They're adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I am telling you in time past, that those who practice those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of a Spirit-led life, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such there is no law. Verse 24, and those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. If we live, listen to it, in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, I want you just to notice that verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It doesn't say walk in the Spirit so you can live in the Spirit. It says you live in the Spirit so you can walk in the Spirit. You've got to walk out this Spirit-led life. We walk it out day by day by not doing all this stuff that it mentions there, contentions, wrath, ambitions, drunkenness, murder. Not doing that. Not doing it is a Spirit-led life. But a Spirit-led life is living in joy and peace and long-suffering and all the rest of it. Those gifts, that fruit of the Spirit. So there's no limitation on what God wants to do. We can have this Spirit-led life. Now, if you remember last week, I said God has already given us this, but we have to exercise it. We have to do something about it. And let's look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Come on, keep those pages turning. Keep you from falling asleep this morning. I know the heat's on. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let me just read several verses, starting at verse 1. Simon Peter, a bond servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. So he's talking to you and to me this morning. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. Not added, multiplied. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So the grace and peace comes through the Word. As His divine power has given us all things. Could I say fullness? Has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we've been given exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, or the divine fullness, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now remember, we've told you before, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So as a man thinks, so what do you think this morning? Are you thinking according to the Word of God? Are you thinking according to what God says? Or are you thinking according to, oh, I've got to do this afternoon. No. Set aside your agenda and start doing what God is saying to do. Start living from the Word. Start living from the position that we're in. See, this Word that we have, it's a seed. We sow the seed in and the seed produces. Jesus said, John 8:32, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. You can be free. Now, I was thinking about this yesterday and turn to the Gospel of St. Luke. Let me try to wind this all up by sharing this thought with you. Gospel of St. Luke, find chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, find verse 26. And this is what it says. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth. God sent an angel, and we'll read a little bit more in a moment, but he sent an angel to talk to a man called Zacharias. Zacharias was a priest, and he and his wife Elizabeth didn't have any children. And so the angel came and told Zacharias that there's going to be a child born and you're going to call his name John. And he was to be John the Baptist. Now, Elizabeth was Mary, Jesus' mother's cousin. So this is the angel now coming to Mary. And this is what he says. To a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So here's this angel Gabriel now coming to Elizabeth's cousin, who's to be the mother of Jesus. And this is what happens. And it says, verse 28, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled and saying, and considered what manner of greeting was this. The angel said, do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Son of God will give, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? In other words, I'm a virgin, I haven't been married, and so forth. And the angel answered and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, this Holy One who is to be born is to be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. Interesting. I find this story personally challenging because Mary actually saw a performance of what she believed. She said, let it be to me according to your word. She put God's word first above the thought of becoming pregnant as an unmarried mother and all of that. She put God's word first. And it's an amazing situation if you really start to look at it. Who would expect that the creator of heaven and earth would be born from a little virgin girl placed in a little food trough for donkeys and cattle and come into the world in a way that no man would ever expect? Now, I want you to look at another verse with me because I'm trying to get a principle to you right now, and we're going to say in the next few minutes, I'm going to say something that I think if you get hold of, it'll change your life forever. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. I want you to look at this verse. Galatians 4 in 19. This is Paul speaking to the church at Galatia, and this is what he says. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Until Christ is formed in you. Now, I've just talked about Mary being called the mother of Jesus. And as a parent, I have some understanding of this. When a woman gets pregnant, there are three things that I want to say to you about it this morning. Number one, there is conception. In other words, conception happens because two people love each other, they're married, and we assume that's the case, that they're married and that all things being equal, they love each other, and when they make love, there is a transference of the seed and meets up with the egg, and you know the whole story. We don't need to go into the biology of it, but the woman gets pregnant, and so there's a conception. Now, what I want you to understand is that God loves you. Jesus loves you. You are to be the bride. It's like Mary. You've got to get pregnant on this word. You've got to allow this word to grow in you. Now, I was thinking about Peter. I'll just give you a reference. You needn't look at it. But in John 21, the little story there where Jesus comes to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. And the word that he used in Greek was phileo, which means I love you like a brother. Jesus asked him a second time, do you love me? The word that Jesus used was agape, the God kind of love. Do you love me with the God kind of love? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I phileo you, or I love you like a brother. Jesus came a third time. He said, do you love me with the God kind of love? And Peter, almost getting angry, says, you know that I love you with the God kind of love. I agape you. And so Jesus led him in three little... It's interesting if you begin to look at this. He led him in three confessions of love. And Peter denied him three times. Jesus had already taken care of the fact that he was going to deny him. Think about... See, you've got to expand your thinking. You've got to get outside of the normal, well, you know, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I've got my insurance policy. No, you've got to start thinking outside of that. So the first thing is this, is conception. Second thing is this, there's forming. When a lady gets pregnant, when a woman gets pregnant, there's a forming. I read the scripture, Galatians 4:19. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you. Now, the devil is out to stop that formation in you. He doesn't want the word. He doesn't want Christ formed in you. He's out to stop at every opportunity he can get. He will send trials and difficulties and problems. But what I've discovered is, and this is where we've got to be careful as faith people. So many times as faith people, we think, oh, well, God doesn't send difficulties and problems. And that's true. He doesn't. The devil sends them. But you know what? God can recycle them. He can turn them around for your good, that Christ can be formed in you. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. God didn't send them, but he can certainly turn them around. He can recycle them. Now, the third thing about a lady getting pregnant is this. There's a pushing. Now, I see all the ladies are smiling. There's a pushing. When a lady is giving birth, she has to push that baby out of her body, and God uses water as the means of expelling the child to come out of the womb. Just as when a person is born again, the Holy Spirit surrounds that person and pushes that person into the kingdom of God, out of the world and into the kingdom of God. When our first two children were born, one of them's over there, I was not allowed, in Ireland, I was not allowed to be at the birth. They wouldn't let me in. No husbands, not allowed in, stay out. But when Naomi was born in Australia, here in Regent, she was born in Regent, just down Preston way there, I was allowed to be in. And so I was at the birth. And the thing that I remember about the birth, apart from the excitement of seeing this little baby coming out was I could hear this nurse saying, Elizabeth, push. Come on, Elizabeth, push. Just one more big push, Elizabeth. And that's, I remember that. And then suddenly there's this little baby. And then 2 weeks old, she's dedicated to the Lord. And Gordon Gibbs, who was the visiting preacher at the church that day, he took hold of her little two-week-old foot and prophesied over her and said, you bring her up to love the Lord and she'll serve the Lord all the days of her life. And so she has. See, even at 2 weeks old, she already had the call of God on her life. So there's a pushing. But what I'm trying to say is that as a Christian, when you're having the word form in you, you've got to push away the things of the world. Push away the things that the devil's trying to do. Now let's go back to my opening scripture, which was John 1:16. And we'll just read that again for you. John 1:16. And it says, of his fullness have we all received, and grace upon grace. Now let me finish by saying this. If you're a student of the Word, and most of you will know many of the Old Testament stories you can read about Elijah and Elisha and all the Old Testament prophets. And I've lost count of the number of Christians who've said to me, oh, we're believing God for the double portion. I said, well, come up out of the Old Testament. It's no longer double portions, it's fullness today. Of his fullness have we all received. If you're looking for a double portion, well, then you're still way down there with Elijah and Elisha. Do you understand what I'm saying? So of his fullness have we all received. See, God's blessings are overflowing. I wonder how many of you remember, and we mentioned the name, Naomi mentioned his name this morning, Brother Hagen, Brother Kenneth E. Hagen. Anybody remember the scripture that he preaches on? Mark 11:23-24. Everybody knows that. I mean, he preached that. He's gone to be with the Lord now, but he preached that for 50 years. I've lost count of the number of times I've listened to various CDs and tapes and even DVDs of Kenneth E. Hagen and Mark 11:23-24. When I was on the bed of sickness, Mark 11:23-24. But you know what? There was truth. That formed in him. Mark 11:23 became the word that he really recognized and knew and could teach and teach and teach and preach on forever. And it's because of him that I'm doing what I'm doing today. Because I had some of his material. People came to me and said, oh, you've been listening to Kenneth Hagin. First time I heard that, I never really had ever heard of him much. But I had the message in my heart. God put it in my heart. So today, can I say this? Of his fullness have we all received. You've received the fullness, whether you understand it or not. You've got to develop it and use it for his glory and for the extension of the kingdom. Can you receive all this morning? All right, praise the Lord. Ian, you want to come finish for us today? Hallelujah.